join in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come humbly, reverently, seeking thy holy presence today. And we know that you are the Word, and therefore, Father, we ask that you would help us, O God, to come into thy Word, O God, to become one with thy Word. Father, we know that you are the solitary God. You don't need us, but we do need you. And knowing this, Father, we come, O God, so humbly and reverently before your throne of mercy, that you might get us, O God, ready for the going home. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, I told you that I believe that we are turning a corner. And today you'll see what I mean. From Who's This Melchizedek, Brother Brown said, now we find in the scripture that many people teaches that three personalities in the Godhead. So you cannot have a personality without being a person. It takes a person to make a personality. Now I'd like to stop here just a minute and comment on what Brother Brown was saying, because he said, you cannot have a personality without being a person. Now, people want to say, well, see, then Jesus and God have the same personality, therefore they're the same person. But he said it takes a person to make a personality. Now, Brother Brown absolutely nailed down the fact that you cannot have a personality without having a person. And the dictionary defines the word personality as a person as an embodiment of a collection of qualities. Personality is a person as an embodiment of a collection of qualities. You're not a person if you're, you don't live and breathe, and, you know, I mean, you're a corpse. And a person has attributes, has characteristics that make up that person, their personality. Now, in psychology, a personality is defined as the sum total of the physical, mental, emotional, and social characteristics of an individual. It is the organized pattern of behaviors characterized of the individual. It is the quality of being a person, existence as a self-conscious human being. It is the personal identity, and it is the essential character of a person. Therefore, it is the visible aspect of one's character as it impresses others. In other words, you look at a person, and most people can look at somebody, talk to somebody for just a few minutes, and you can see certain characteristics, certain character traits come out in that discussion. Brother Brown said, I can talk to a person in 3 minutes and know whether they have the Holy Ghost or not. And he said, and you can too. You can too.
Hold that going,
Barry,
Brother Brown.
What's that? Make it a little bit bigger. I think it might go off the page. Yeah. I'll have to use maybe different font. We have a new system here, and so that Wednesday nights we can play the table, and we put it in a mode that the letters are white and the rest of the screen is black, so that you can actually see very clear what he's saying. Now, Brother Brown says, goes on to say, a Baptist minister a few weeks ago come up to my house, and he said, I'd like to straighten you out on the Godhead sometime when you got time. Pull me up, rather, and I said, I got time right now, because I want to be straight, and we lay aside everything else to do it. And he come up and he said, Brother Brandt, you teach that there is just one God. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, he said, I believe there is one God, but one God in three persons. And I said, sir, repeat that again. He said, one God in three persons. I said, where did you go to school at? See? And he told me a Bible college, and I said, I could believe that. You cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. And he said, well, the theologians can't even explain that. I said, well, it's by revelation. And he said, well, I can't accept revelation. I said, then there's no way for God to ever get to you, because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and it's revealed to babes such as would learn. Revealed, revelation. Revealed to babes such as would learn, see? And I said, there'd be no way for God to get it to you. You close yourself off from him. The whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There's no other way to know God, only by revelation. To whom the Son will reveal him. Revelation, everything is revelation. So, to not accept the revelation, then you're just a cold theologian and there's no hope for you. I'd like to stop again here and just look at several things that Brother Branham says here. Number one, he says, you cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. Now, Brother Brown is making the case that God could not be three separate individual persons without having three different personalities. If God were three persons, as they believe, then each person in the Godhead would have to have a separate personality if he were a separate being or person. Now, I hope you can see his argument. Now, the Trinitarian theologian would have you to believe God is a committee of three, that the three work together in a unity to make up something called a Godhead. But this understanding or lack of it comes from a sheer lack of revelation concerning the Word of God, and it will be our second point that we'll get to in just a minute. Now remember, we are studying the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. Then his nature is sovereign and solitary. It does not change, even though that he may change his vessel. But when God inhabits a person, a vessel, his nature does not change with the vessel, nor does his personality. That is why when a man is so full of God, God's Spirit, he acts like God, he speaks like God, and he does the works of God. Otherwise, we would have to say that the vessel is sovereign, and when God's Holy Spirit enters the vessel, it would have to change to reflect the vessel entered, which is totally insane to think of an unchanging God would change his nature and personality with each vessel that he enters. See, this is the problem where people have, you know, this is the oneness think, okay, then Jesus and God are one person, and then the Trinitarians say, well, there's three persons, and they have no understanding of, and what I want to do is show you that every vessel God ever entered from the time of Moses all the way up through, that vessel took on the attributes and characteristics and the personality of God. Not vice versa. Not, well, God comes into Moses and so he acts this way, and he comes into Elijah and he acts this way. No, it's the same God, same miracles, same supernatural, same attributes, same characteristics, same mercy, and same judgment. Mm-hmm. All right? Otherwise, we have to say that the vessel is sovereign. And God isn't sovereign. But there's only one sovereign, and that's God. Therefore, let's look at this thought of each person having their own personality. Now, the word person, according to Webster, comes from the Latin word persona, which literally means an actor's face mask. Hence, a character, a person, an individual human being as distinguished from other forms of life. You know, a horse is not a person. Okay? It has to be human. Now, this then leads us to look at the word personality and see how it means different from that of the word person. Webster defines the word personality as coming from the Latin word personalitas and speaks of the quality or fact of being a particular person. In other words, those habitual patterns and qualities of behavior that distinguish one individual from another, giving each a personal identity and individuality from all others. Therefore, we can say that the personalities are those qualities, traits, or attributes which give individual identity to the person. Now, I could just look in this room and you could do, and you could look at every single person in here, and you could tell me the different personality characteristics, say, between Gary and Brother Don. All right? Or between Peter and Steve. And you could list their personality attributes and characteristics. Say you listen about Brother Peter, then you listen about Brother Steve, and you see there be some that be the same, but there's others that are different. But from his sermon, Ephesians parallels Joshua, Brother Bram said, after Samuel had been dead for at least 3 to 5 years, and the witch of Endor called him up, and she fell on her face and she said, you have deceived me because you are Saul yourself. She said, because I see gods. She was a heathen, you see. I see gods rising up. And Saul couldn't see him yet. And he said, what does he look like? Describe him to me. And she said, he's thin and he has a mantle over his shoulder. Said, that's Samuel the prophet. Bring him here before me. I want you to notice that Samuel had not lost any of his personality. He was still a prophet. He told Saul exactly what would happen next. So you see, death does not completely diminish us as we weep and wail and lament at the grave. It only changes our dwelling place. Now, the question then arises, can two persons have the same identical personality and yet be two individual persons? And the answer is no, not entirely. They can share many of the same traits, but not all the same traits. Thus, when we look at the Godhead or Godhood of God, the thing which distinguishes God from all others is that he is omniscient and omnipotent. And because he is omniscient, he can be omnipresent because he knows all things. No other being, person, or spirit has those attributes. What distinguishes the Father from the Son is that the Son did not know all things. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In fact, Jesus said, you know, I can't of myself do nothing. But what I see the Father do, that through the Son likewise. So that would include himself as the Son of God. Now from his sermon, question and answers on Hebrews, Brother Branham says, now the oneness teaching of the oneness church, I certainly disagree with them, thinking that Jesus is one like your finger is one, and he had to have a father. If he didn't, how could he be his own father? See, that throws out your oneness thinking. How could Jesus be his own father? And his father was a man, like the Trinitarians say, then he was born an illegitimate birth with two fathers. So you see, you're both wrong by arguing. See, but the truth of it is that both Father, Son, Holy Ghost is one personality. God dwelling in a tabernacle of flesh to take sin from the world. That's exactly right. God with us. Now remember what I said, the personality of God is sovereign and changes not. Therefore, God in his Son does exactly what God as Father does. Jesus said, John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he, the Father, doeth, that also doeth the Son likewise. Now, why is this? Because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. Also in John 5:30, we read, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In other words, when I hear, I bring it back to the standard. Remember, Jesus says in John 17, Father, restore the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. And the word glory is God's opinion, his judgment, and his values. All right? Now, Brother Branham, in question and answers on Hebrews, he says, he's asked to explain the Trinity. Please explain the Trinity. How can the Son sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding to the Father, if they are not two persons? Well, beloved friend, that's a revelation. If Jesus said, I and my Father are one, then how can they be two? See? Now, they're not two. A woman once said to me, and I was explaining that, said, you and your wife are two, yet you're one. And I said, but God and the Son is different from that, see? And I said, you see me? Yes. Do you see my wife? No. I said, then Father and Son's different. She said, when you see me, you see the Father. See, the Father and the Son. The Father was Almighty Jehovah God dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man. God is spirit. And no man has seen God at any time, but the only God of the Father hath declared it. So whose personality took over? God. His personality, his being, his deity, whatever he was God. He was nothing less or nothing more than God, yet he was a man. He was a man, a house that God dwelt in. That's right. He was God's dwelling place. See, Jesus said, I've come to do thy will, O God. Now, I love this because as we see what God was in Christ, we know what God is in his church. Now, I know from experience, having talked to many, many ministers around the world, that they really get hung up with Brother Branham's language here. But as I've been speaking in this series on sovereignty, that not only is God sovereign and solitary in his nature, but his nature, his character, is sovereign as well. And he is the unchanging God. And he is the unchanging God, then, no matter what vessel God chooses to work through, his personality never changes. It is the vessel that must adapt to God's nature, not the other way around. Amen. From his sermon, sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Branham said, now Jesus was born for one purpose, That was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see that what he thought, and his expressions to the people in his gratefulness and his attitude towards all mankind. He, now he's talking about God here, expressed it through Christ. God used the vessel of his firstborn son so to express himself to humanity. Then Brother Bram says, Christ seemed to be a dual personality. One person having two personalities. All right? Now listen. He would speak sometimes and they'd scratch their heads and they didn't understand him. He'd speak one thing one time, looked like, and something else another time. What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, the vessel. Christ was the God that was in him. The William Branham said, I love cherry pie. Does that mean God loves cherry pie? No. That was the man speaking. But when it said, thus saith the Lord, that was God. Christ was the God that was in him. Christ, which means anointing or anointer, was the God that was in the vessel working through that vessel. Not me that doeth the works, but my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. Now, from his sermon, Balm and Gilead, Brother Bram said, and what does he mean by that? Just a minute. What does he mean, God will not share his glory with anyone? Doesn't he share his glory when he gives you his doxa? Isn't that his glory? Isn't it? Okay. But he won't take your glory and add it to his glory. He gives you his glory. He doesn't give you a glory that's a hybrid. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are way above your thoughts, saith the Lord. Right? So when God says, I will not share my glory with anyone, he's not going to say, okay, here's 50% of what I think, now you get the other 50%, and then we'll just come together like a politician. God don't do that. It's my way or the highway, is what he says. Okay, again from Patmos' vision, Brother Bram said, the revelation showed that he is not three gods, neither is he chopped up in three pieces, but he's one God, that was God in the days of the fatherhood. He was God in the days of the sonship. He's God in the days of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the same God. Not three different ones, not three persons, not three personalities. He's one person, one personality. You cannot be personality without being a person. No, that's just what he's saying. He was the same God, one God, in the fatherhood. The pillar of fire over the children of Israel, right? But when that pillar of fire went into the sun, it was still the same God that was in the sun. And when that same pillar of fire, or licks of fire, off the pillar of fire, came into sons, he's the same God, same personality. So if your personality is not lining up with his personality, there's something wrong. That's what he's saying. He's one person, one personality. You can't be a personality without being a person. Some people say, he's not three persons, but he's three personalities. You cannot divide that. Because if he's a personality, he's a person. Has to be a person to make a personality. So he is one person, one personality, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alpha and Omega, he that was, which is, and shall come. Oh, he's just, oh, I love that. Watch his nature and his life. His works. It should be manifested right here in this tabernacle, just like it was in his day. It should be, he says. Not saying this prejudice, God knows that. Not only here, but across the world. Okay, you know, people are going to say, well, see, okay, it was manifest in the tabernacle because it was manifest in Brother Branham. He said, but not to be prejudiced, but hey, across the world. In every son. I'm glad that it is. Then we know that where we're standing because we have the same Spirit in us, moving with us and showing us that he's here. It's not me, or it's not us. As Brother Bell always said, get your eyes off the vessel and get them on the God that uses the vessel. Brother Brown said, it's not us, it's him. We can't do these things, it's God. Because besides that, in the scientific world, he permitted his picture to be taken with us, in us, around us, over us, through us, working in and out of us. Oh, how wonderful. You see how we're beginning to understand how that the same Holy Spirit of God changes not when he goes from vessel to vessel. His personality is the same and he does the same. He acts the same, he speaks the same, and does the same works. That is why Jesus could say, if you are a true believer, which is one filled with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that he had, then you will do the same works that he did. That's what he said in John 14:12. Same Spirit, same works. Same word, same works. The works that I do shall you do also. Now that is why we can know that many of the message churches are not teaching the same word, because the same works are not following. The same signs are not following. If you got a church that is just teaching, 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 and there's no supernatural from God taking place, somewhere they're off. Somewhere they're off. Because the same word will produce the same results. The same Spirit will do the same works. From his sermon, God identifying himself, Brother Branham said, see, there's no mistake about it. His life. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. See, that identifies the characteristics. The same thing that he said. If my character doesn't identify myself, God in him, then don't believe him. If you've got a minister who's pulling deals on the people, but claiming to be a preacher of the word, stay away from him. Because he doesn't have the character of Christ. I don't care if it's pulling deals, if it's fornicating and adultery, whatever it is, that's anti-Christ, anti-word. Your fruits prove what life is in the tree. By their fruits you shall know them. See, you know, just let me say this. On one hand, I feel sorry for people that sat under a false fivefold ministry. On the other hand, I don't feel sorry for them because they're stupid enough to sit there. You say, well, they were afraid. Afraid of what? If you got the Holy Ghost, you have no fear. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. And of a sound mind. And anybody with a sound mind would not sit under a false fivefold minister. So I don't feel sorry for them. I came up in this message, and I was baptized at the same time as a guy who ended up being pastor in Minneapolis. So then when I heard Brother Vail was coming to Minneapolis, I went to that church, and I sat in that church for about a year, 2 years, from about 76 to 79, actually 3 years. But I was troubled, constantly troubled. Finally, Brother Vail said, look, that he's a cult leader. I said, yeah, tell me about it. People don't have the guts. Well, it don't take guts. It takes the Holy Ghost. He says, see, there's no mistake about it. His life, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. See, that identifies the characteristics, the same thing he said. If my character doesn't identify myself, God in him, then don't believe him. Now, he also said, and remember when we preached on John 14:12, Brother Brown said, if you go to a church that the works aren't there, he said, God's not there. He said, if you don't see the John 14:12 in that church, if you don't see it, he said, then it's not doing the same thing. It's because it's not the same Spirit. And that's what he's saying here. If my character doesn't identify myself, that God is in him, then don't believe him. Now, he also said that he would be identified in that. Then that, if it doesn't identify him, then he isn't what he says. And today, if Christ doesn't identify himself, the character of Christ identifying us as being of Christ, believing the Word, Jesus was the Word, so he had to believe the Word. And how can we say that we are of Christ and deny any word in that Bible? The Holy Spirit of Christ is God in you. And it'll punctuate every promise with an amen. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. The Spirit of God said amen. See, one of them don't say, well, no, that was for another age. Or that was only for the disciples only, or for William Branham only. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Anywhere, all the world, he that believeth, these signs shall follow him. Same thing, yesterday, today, and forever. The characteristics being identified, the marks, Hebrews 1 and 1, God at sundry time, speaking to the fathers by the prophets, identifying Christ resurrected today by the same characteristics that he did in sundry times. Now, again from his sermon, taking on the whole armor of God, Brother Brown says, John 14:12, Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also." What is it? What is it? It's God in the church in these five predestinated offices backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he lives. All other religions are dead. Their forms are dead. There's only one that's right, and that's Christianity, because Christ is living in the church of Christ. Amen. Making his word manifest, for he is the same. If it's the same word, it'll do the same thing. Write that down. And that'll help you to decide or determine who's preaching correct and who's not. If it's the same word, it'll do the same thing. And show the same works and the same signs. Now remember, Jesus said that the Son can do nothing of himself, right? So you can't do anything of yourself. But if you're preaching the same word, God will do it. Because it's God in you willing, then it'll be God in you doing his perfect will. Now, what did he just say? If it's the same word, it'll do the same thing and show the same works and the same signs. Okay? Then how many believe that God appeared to William Branham in three rainbows, confirming to him that what he had taught for the past 30 years was the truth? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit told him? Then if God changes not, won't he do the same if other preachers preach the same word? After all, he is the same. The same word will produce the same works. The same Spirit in you will produce the same works and the same signs. For message of grace is that I looked again, and there it was, growing taller and taller, three rainbows. I took off my hat. I set down my gun. I started walking close with my hands up. Something just seemed to tell me, this is close enough. I was going to sit down and take off my boots that I had on and to see if I could walk a little closer. But I got within a few yards of it, and I seen the color of it misting like a fog moving around. And I stood still for a few moments, and it was coming right out of the top of the little mountain. And I watched it as the three, one to the right, one to the left, and one in the center, running down into like a bowl, into one bowl like this. Ever what it was alive. It was moving and making its motions. Now, that's exactly what the people told me when I interviewed them over in Mabanza Ngungu. That the first one came, sat over the church for 25 minutes, and another one came, joined in the first one, and they formed a bowl. And the woman whose house the sisters were, which is next door to the church, she said, "I just watched that thing. It was like it was breathing, like an orb. It was just..." It was a rainbow, horizontal, which speaks of the second coming of Christ. And then the third one came and formed a full circle. They filmed it. They got pictures of it. Hundreds of people saw it. The same signs produced. Why? Because same word. The same word. Same word produces the same sign. That's exactly what he just said. You know why? It's not the vessel. It's the same God. Same word. Can't people see that? Oh, you're trying to make yourself somebody. No, I'm not trying to make myself somebody. I'm trying to die to myself so that God can do it. So that God can live through his word and make sons to realize they are sons. Not just a bunch of church members. Ever what it was alive. It was moving and making its motions. That's exactly what the old woman told me. And she was not even a believer. She said, whatever it was alive. And I stood there just as it was graying down. I turned and looked around again. I screamed out, "Oh God, what would you have your servant to know?" Just then the Spirit of the Lord came in and said, "Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He only changed his mask from spirit to man." That was confirming, of course, my message of him, letting me know assure it that these 31 years hasn't been in vain. And I think that did that for me as well. Well, if God changes not, then God is obligated to do the same with other sons who are teaching the exact same word. He said it, not me. He said if it's the same word, it'll do the same thing and show the same works and the same signs. So why do you think God came there in Mabanza Ngungu? Because the same word will produce the same works, the same signs. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, it's a slogan. Oh, people talk about it all the time, but they don't live it, they don't believe it. Yet the people are so afraid of their own shadow that they are afraid if they testify what God did in their ministry, someone will think that you have wrong intentions. I don't care what people think. I happen to believe Hebrews 13 and 8 is real, and therefore the same thing should happen in your life if you have the same God living in you. Then those three rainbows appeared over the church I was preaching. I put the picture on the website, and I had a pastor friend of mine email me, and he said, take it down. He said, what right have you got to put that picture up there? What are you trying to make yourself? I just replied, my brother, I wasn't the one that appeared down there over the church. I was only standing there when he appeared. It's not what I know, it's just what I surrender myself to. I said the exact same words William Branham said about the pillar of fire that came down over him. He said, it's not about me, it's about him. He got convicted, he wrote back and apologized. Now listen, right after Jesus spoke in John 14:12, that if you have the same spirit that he has, you'll do the same works. He then says in John 14 and 19, yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you'll see me. So like in the 1970s, okay, some guy walked around the country with a white robe on, sandals, long hair and beard, said he was Jesus. Is that what he means? No. Then how are you going to see him if the world can't see him? Because he's living in you. You see the life of Christ expressing itself, himself, in you. The world can't see that, but you see it. Notice that's exactly what he says. He's talking about John 14, 12. You're going to do the same works because the same Spirit's in you. But the world won't see it, but you'll see it. Now listen. Because I live, you shall live also. That's your clue right there. And at that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that echoes my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will make myself, I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us, and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How is it that he'll manifest himself to you? Because you see it in your own life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see the change from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, from image to image. You see the transformation taking place in your own life. Oh, people will judge you by their flesh. They judge you by their vessel. They do it all the time. They did to Jesus, and what did he get for it? They nailed him on the cross. They didn't like his vessel. Some of you don't like mine. That's your problem. I don't like it either. But I like the God that inhabits that vessel. Now, I hope you're getting what I said here. How is it that the world won't see you, but the real Spirit-filled believer will see you? Jesus tells us, because I live, you shall live also. You will see me because I'll make my abode with you. I will come in and dwell in you. And the life that you see living itself out from your own vessel is no longer your life, but it is my life that will be living itself out in you. For you have crucified yourself, yet you're living. Yet it is not you that's living, but it is Christ that's living in you. And the life that you are now living in the flesh, you will be living by the life of Christ living in you and doing the same works that he did. How much simpler can it be? And that is how that you will know that the same life is living itself out in you. Because the same word will produce the same works, the same signs, same word will produce the same works. Same Spirit will produce the same works. It has to, or it isn't his Spirit living in you. Now, at this point, I want to go back to what Brother Branham said from the Spoken Word's original seed, because it was back here in August of 2009, 10 years ago, when my eyes got wide open concerning the significance of John 14:12 in our stature and our state, and our being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And you'll see how that this all ties in into what we are studying today concerning the personality of God and how he changes not. Therefore, his personality changes not no matter what vessel or mask God chooses to put in. If God is in you, it's the same personality that's going to reflect in you. Now, if you got too much of you in the way, you got to die and let him live. From Malachi 3:6, he tells us, I am God, I change not. Therefore, the masks may change, but the Spirit of God, his nature, his character, which is his personality, cannot change no matter what vessel he chooses to inhabit, including all of every one of his children. And let's face it, your children, when they're born into the world, they are all born in sin. They're all shaped in iniquity. They all come to the world speaking lies. And Brother Brown makes this clear in his sermon identification. He said, look, to show it's one, it's the one that he thought of. His thoughts is the Christian today, of today. The thoughts before the foundation of the world. Now remember, man, when he was born in sin, he shaped iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Is that right? There's nothing in him at all. So you see, if he was in God's thoughts, when he come to the world, he's come in God's thoughts at the beginning to display his attribute. Now you follow me. When Jesus came to break the clouds back so the attribute could display itself, he is God's expressed word. Now, nothing else could be manifested. Other characters had all fallen. Then you see, what did Jesus come to bring back those characters? No, they were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. He came as a redeemer. You see? And to redeem anything is to bring it back. Amen. Bring it back. It was God's thoughts. You think, well, little you, little me, no one in the world could take my place. Nobody can take your place. You being a Christian and filled with the Spirit of God, in before the foundation of the world, seeing you and knowing every feature that you got, see? And Jesus come to bring you back. That's what Jesus was here for, the Redeemer, the human body, to bring you back. That had to come to be a human as a Redeemer, to display his attributes as Savior, come to redeem and bring you back from where you come from. So he's talking about when you're born, the human nature, born in sin, shaped in it, could come forth the world. He didn't come to bring that back. He didn't come to save that. He came to bring back the gene seed attributes that were put in you before the foundation of the world when you were in God's sight. That's why that gene seed is in there or it's not in there. If it's not in there, no matter how much word you hear, it's just like water off the duck of a back. But if you've got that gene seed, there's a response. There's a quickening. Paul said, and you, he has quickened, okay? Therefore, it is your duty and responsibility as a parent to shape the little minds and hearts of your children by fashioning their little personality to be honest, ethical, forthright, yet loving and giving and full of mercy and lovers of God and lovers of his world. Oh, I've got many quotes where Brother Branham says, look, our whole purpose should be to get people saved, including your children. That's what the Spirit of Christ is all about. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. The hope of attaining his opinions, his values, his judgments. Well, that's the same duty the Holy Spirit has when he comes into your being, because that is the end product God saw in you before the foundation of the world when he formed that gene seed that was to come into you at this end time. Now, if you leave your little children on its own, it'll begin to mimic what it sees. So if you choose the television set or the computer to babysit your children, you'll get a little renegade growing up in your house. And when they get old, that is a way that they will not depart from. But if you raise them up to reverence the things of God and to respect the atmosphere of God's presence in his house of worship, they will grow up that way. I preached a sermon years ago called Home in the House of God. Brother Bell liked it so much, he asked me to come up and preach it there. In fact, that's the weekend that Brother Michael and Sister Helena came to visit. And I showed that the same atmosphere that you have here in this church when you come to worship God, to hear from God, is the same atmosphere you need to set up in your own home. Not the kids being babysat over here, just doing their thing while you're doing your thing.
Train them up in the way they'll go. Get on your knees and pray with them. Talk to them about this journey that we're going through. Show them the difference between right and wrong. Show them the glory, the attributes, the values of God, and the opinions of God. He said, well, I don't want my child to be buffeted because if they hold to this and they'll go to school and the other kids think different. Listen, that's part of character building. I remember little Christina. She was about 3 years old. Little boy had stolen her tricycle, so she got in front of him and she preached him a sermon. Yeah. Fire and brimstone. Raise them up the way they go. When they get old, they won't depart. So let's go to the spoken word's original seed. And you'll see exactly what Brother Branham is telling us here. Paragraph 87. He says, all right. And remember, this is what really turned the corner for me. I was preaching from this sermon of Brother Branham's. In fact, 268 sermons from this one. All right, all right. We notice it. See the spoken word. Then we are God's words, God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? Can't do. How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says this, days of miracles, you know. How are you going to do that and then be manifested Son of God? No wonder they criticize me for preaching about being manifested as a Son of God. They think, well, he's trying to put himself in the millennium. So, you know, they say, my manifestation of Sons of God, that's millennium. Brother Matt said, no, it's not. It's right now. Sure. Now you're sons. You might not know what you're supposed to be, but when he appears, you're going to be changed because you'll be like him. Well, that's if you got the right word. If you believe the right word. Because the same word produces what? The same results. All right. How are you going to do that and then be a manifested Son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. You don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works proves that you are. There you go. Jesus said the same thing. If you think that I'm illegitimately born, and they say, well, we're Abraham's seed and need nobody to teach us. He said, if you was Abraham's children, you'd know me. See, he said, which one of you condemns me of sin or unbelief? Show me one thing that God promised to me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them. See, certainly. Said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me with sin? Unbelief. See, if I don't believe God, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing? Every word that he promised. Now, let me see where you got it in yours. All right, I've been accused of having my own whatever by certain church because they don't believe in adoption, they don't believe manifestation of the sons of God, they don't believe in John 14:12 in the believer. And so they say, well, you know, he's off on his own. Listen, I see John 14:12. I see manifestation of God. I see adoption. I see all these things that God is doing. I see the supernatural take place. Look, it's not me producing anything. It's I'm just standing on God's word, and God's doing it. God's obligated to back up his word. So Brother Branson, he's talking about Jesus, but he's actually talking about himself. So you guys criticize me, but he said, I got the results. He said, show me where you got it. Now notice this is the same argument that the anti-fivefolders use as their argument. Well, we don't need anyone to teach us. We can do it. We can go get it on our own. But they can't. They prove that they don't even understand the message. Because God did not ordain it that way. He said the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting, which is the capping off, the equipping of the saints for the purpose of growing up into him in all things. And God set them in the church, so who are you to take them out? But the same religious spirit in Jesus' day does the same thing today. Spirits don't change. They just go from one vessel to another. But the same unbelieving nature remains the same. Just like the same Spirit of God, if it's in you, it'll do the same things God does. But if the spirit, the unbelieving spirit is in you, it'll not do anything just like they don't.
All right?
It's not you producing. It's the Word producing. And the evidence that the Word is there is that it produces. By their fruits you shall know them. Now he continues, who is the illegitimate born then? They were. They were calling him illegitimate, but they were illegitimate. Illegitimate children professing to be gods. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you do. What kind of works did the devil do? Try to hybrid the Word of God through Eve. That's exactly the same thing that these big denominations do. The works of the devil, their father, they do. They're trying to take a creed and breed it with the Word. That's what Satan's done in the beginning, the father of the devil. God bless you, brother. Come out of it. Jesus said, you've got one little scratch of God in you. You ought to look and see that. It's hybrid. Oh, my. Now, here's where my eyes were opened in the next paragraph 89. He said, the works that Jesus did, if a man has a seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, and if that same spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifest. That's what he said, brother. You don't believe that? All right. Let's turn over to John 14:12. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Bram. I sure am a believer. All right. I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Very, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Notice, Brother Amtai, John 14:12, with whether you are a believer or not. Because if you are a believer, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then God proves that he's living your life by doing the same works that he did in Jesus. Because remember, it is God working in you both to will and to do. Oh, I got passive faith, brother. And it doesn't reflect in an active faith. I'm sorry, you don't got passive faith. You just got a mental conglomeration of doctrine. And if God is not in you willing, then he is not in you doing either. But Brother Brown tied John 14:12 is the same God who worked in Jesus will also work in you because it's the same Spirit who's doing it. God will do in you because it isn't you doing it any more than it was Jesus that healed the sick and raised the dead. Brother Brown said Jesus didn't heal anybody. God did it. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. That's what he said. And so the next paragraph, Brother Brown nails it down, this thought, when he says, what is it? It's the same seed. There you go. You got the seed of God in you? Then you'll have John 14:12. Because it's not you, it's God. It's not you, it's the same spirit. It's the same nature. You can't keep... How can you plant wheat over here and wheat here and say, I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat over here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is if you plant cucumbers. If you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber, it'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. See, you've got to say it. It isn't neither one. Isn't a cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed and it's bad product and it's dead in itself. And it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there, back, won't go no further. That finishes it, that's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. And if you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want, look, and they don't start with the Word of God, they start with music. You go around, visit around some of these churches. They'll sing for 45 minutes or an hour, and then they'll preach for 15 minutes. And they will use maybe one scripture, and then they'll talk about, oh, I was a drunk one time, and oh, I was in sin. Oh, come to Jesus, people, because I was in sin, and now look at me now, and you can come and be like me. No, I don't want to be like me, I want to be like Jesus. And the only way I'll be like Jesus is fill myself with the Word. The Word of God. And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. See? That's why I'm so strong on the dose of God, the glory of God, the opinions of God, the values of God, the judgment of God. You got to train your children up in those. Don't leave it to somebody else to do it. It won't get done. And it won't get done correctly. See? So now, where's your latter rain coming up at? You see where that's going after a while, don't you? Going over with them with gourds like Elijah got and thought that they were gourds. Or them schools of prophets up there, that denomination they had, gathered some wild gourds and thought that they were peas. Oh, well. So you can see the theme of his sermon coming out in these last few paragraphs and the next ones as well. He said, then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed word of God. God's son was his example seed. There you go. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost came upon him, the very life that he produced will, that same watery Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of a life doing the same things that he did if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God seed. Now, shame on you women who bob your hair. Shame on you preachers denying this truth. Say, well, it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with that. But God said it did. Now, notice, same seed will produce same works. Why? Because every seed must bring forth after its own kind or nature. Then he says, see, where's it at? See, that's why I believe the word. It's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. And, of course, he's quoting Genesis 1:11, the law of life. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do we do? Make a million more in 44. Baptist, Presbyterians, and whatever more. Pentecostals. But where is the manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? I do nothing till the Father shows me first. Where is that kind of a seed coming up from? The Holy Spirit will water and will bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water's for. If the water falls on you and you say, well, bless God, let me tell you something, preacher. I'm so-and-so and I believe, and I don't believe in that stuff. Well, you're the denominational. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's the kind of seed that was planted. Don't misunderstand me. I love you, honey. I'm trying to get this to you. See? I will. I'll stop at it when I finish today. I'll let it go. But I want you to know one time what's right and the reason I believe what I believe. I believe the devil's deceived you. Frankly, I know he has. According to God's word, it can't fail. He's deceived you. Yes, sir. That's why I preach those things the way that I do. Because God's word said it. Oh, say, well, Brother Bram, well, this is a different day. It's the same word, though. Well, you know, Brother Bram could do it. You got the same word. They profess that they do, but they don't have the same results. That shows they don't have the same word. They got some wheat out of the garner from back there in the days of the time of Joseph, and they planted. They put it in the ground, planted here a couple years ago. Did you see that in the magazine? And it produced a crop of wheat. It was still wheat. That's the reason. The only thing it needed was just some water. God's word just the same as it was then. He spoke it back yonder thousands of years ago. The only thing it needs is water. Why don't we get a crop? Because we got the wrong kind of a seed. How many of you would like to change your letter? Twofold more child of hell than you was to start with. How many of you Methodists would like to become Baptists? You Baptists like to become Pentecostals. Just bring your membership over here. Oh, for goodness sake. Tommy Run. Trash of the devil. There's no life in it at all. It's hybrid. It's hypocritical. Death, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Didn't Jesus say every man, every plant that the Heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up? Denomination or whatever more it is, it'll be rooted up. God's word alone will stand. Right. That's what he said. Every man's word is a lie, but mine is the truth. Then, where are we going? You better come back to your senses, but you can't hear it unless you're predestinated to hear it. We're getting into that. No wonder it falls like water off a duck's back. He's made to shed the water, not absorb it. The ark was made out of gopher wood and shittim wood. It's nothing, just hollow. Nothing in it but hollow. Everything's taken out of it. It's grown that way. The lightest wood there is, lighter than balsam. Why did they do it? So that he could soak it with pitch. If it had been oak, you say, well, wouldn't oak do just as good? No, sir, it won't soak up nothing. It turns it away. It's repellent, and this is an absorbent. And the real seed of God is an absorbent for the Spirit. All denominationalism took out, all unbelief is out. And when the Holy Spirit comes into that germ of life that's laying there, it produces another seed, just exactly. Another son of God is born, and amen, another amateur God, son of God. How many people have come up to you and said, you're a God? How many people come up to you and said, you know, I can tell you're a Christian. Just the way you walk, the way you talk, your life. I know you're a Christian. If they haven't, look in the mirror. He said, I'm a Branham because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. When God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, it produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead. You're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man. It's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. Give over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you. Run him out. Hollows you up. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life. Because it's God's water, word, watered by the Holy Spirit, will produce the same thing. You see it? I just love to preach on that for a few minutes, but with 30, 40 pages of scriptures here, I've only got through three so far. He did. I mean, he preached 6.5 hours. All right. Manifested, the works manifested the same by us. For it is the same word. And now, if you want to do the works of Christ, do the same thing he did. He that believes on me shall have my works. What is it? Believe what? That he is the original seed germ that came. Where is the seed? Here. Let me take those handkerchiefs. Here's a man that was supposed to be here, right here. This is a man that was supposed to be, what happened? Eve hybrided. What did it do? Then what did it do? Turned to death, keep dying. Now, this one come that way, come that up. Now, here stays the word just the same. Here's the word laying here just the same. Now, what happened? Here's the word. Now, the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth, it couldn't find a place to land. Finally, this word caught into the womb of a virgin. We'll speak of the two wombs this afternoon. And what happened? From him came forth the germ of life, the thing that gives, the water that gives the kernel its chance to reproduce itself, the same spirit out of him, and went up. Now, Brother Brown says, he continues, we believe it. Now, what did Jesus say? He that believeth on me, see? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, the manifestation that the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove come upon me and done this, not through hybriding, but through the virgin born. Not the course of life, like breeding a child, husband to wife. No, not that. Not a hybrid, but a virgin born. Now, through this, I'm giving this life. That if you, by faith, will accept the Father, all the prophets, all the Word of God, I will pour this life down upon you, and you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing that I am. There you are. Same word. Same works. Same spirit. Has to do the same works. The works that I do shall he do also. And what did he do? Just as the Father led him. What he saw. Remember, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. John 5:19, I do nothing till the Father shows me. What was he? Made himself a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God's spoken word through a virgin brought forth a body, and in that body come the water, the Spirit, the washed by the water of the Word, and then went in him, dwelt in him, and there come the life of God manifesting himself through Christ. God was in Christ, the Anointed One. Now, why did you see so much of God in William Branham? Because William Branham knew how to die to himself and rot to himself. As Brother Collins told me, every time that there was a
if a minister was in the Brown Tabernacle, come visit, whatever, had an altar call, Brother Branham was the first one at the altar. The first one to die. You say, well, I thought you'd just do that one time. No. You do it every time the Holy Spirit convicts you of wrong. You get to your knees and, God, I'm so sorry. Christ means the anointed one. A man that was anointed. And God dwelling in him, what was it? The germ with the flesh, the anointed one. Flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God produced the Word of God made manifest. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. See, there he was, see. He was God's Word made manifest. And now he died in order to pay the debt of your hybriding. Oh my, there it is. What is it? That you could die to yourself until you're no more yourself. And be filled with His Word, believing His Word. Then the Holy Spirit that was in Him comes down to the water to water that Word to make it grow. See? And then what is it? God manifesting, continuing the work of His firstborn Son, His only begotten, see? That died for our hybriding life, that He might reconcile us back to be sons and daughters of God. Where? That we're in Him before the foundation of the world. That through the church might flow the same life by the Word. Continuing the Word being manifested as it was in Christ. Christ was God's Word made manifest. And He died, gave His life, that He might send His Spirit, take His body up, send the Spirit back to water to pay the redeeming price, if we'll believe it. That's it right there, if you believe it. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, then comes the Holy Spirit upon the same Word of God. Same Spirit will do the same things. Now we're talking about the personality of God. That if you claim to be a Christian, which means Christ-like, see, this country calls itself a Christian nation. It is not a Christian nation. It's a heathen nation. Because who do they put into office? The heathens. The heathens. What are they doing in New York just the other day? Oh, it's okay to kill a baby even after it's born. If the mother decides after she's born, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to ruin my lifestyle. I'll just talk to the doctor and we'll find a way to kill it. They think that's okay. They're heathens. No different from the days of Ruth, the Moabites, sacrificing children, and they do it. The politicians do it. And they drink their blood and they put it on their face and they go over to China, they have a stew or a soup made out of baby broth. Fetal broth. Oh yeah. It gets my complexion better. What, so the worms can eat it up in the grave? These people have no soul. Completely circumcised. He goes on in Why Christ Speak. Brother Rand quotes Jesus in John 14:12. He says, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Peter saith, "Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, anointed and approved of God among you, which you all yourself know." The Bible said that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, that he went about doing good, healing the sick. That was a sign that he was what he claimed to be. That's the way God sends it. That's the way it's supposed to come in the last days. And the Holy Spirit that comes in the last days isn't to draw us to a creed, isn't to draw us to a church, it's to draw us to God. And supernatural signs is to follow that Holy Spirit. Where is it today? In the message. I know it's in this ministry. I've seen it. Others have seen it. A brother just wrote to me, Brother Edmund, the other day. I think I sent it to you. A year ago, December 30th of 2017, Brother Edmund wrote to me and he told me Brother Gad's father was having some trouble. 9 years before, he had had a stroke and was having some trouble. And last year, around in somewhere, was it December that your brother died and your mother died? Something like that. I wrote back to him. I said, "Brother," I said, I believe that in about a year, by the end of it, 2018, I said, I think God's taking his family one at a time, taking them home. I said, and I believe by the end of 2018 that God will take him home. His father passed away last week, so I was 1 month and 1 week after, a year, 1 year, 1 month, 1 week after. And I told the brother, said, "I don't say that God told me this," I said, "but I could feel it in my spirit, in my soul."
See, God does those things, brother, sister. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
So the brother wrote to me and said, I don't know if you remember saying this. I didn't remember saying it. I didn't. But I said, here it is. Here's the email.
Well, thank you, brother. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother, God knows God took his father home. Instead of suffering the rest of his life, look, he had arms that he couldn't use. Couldn't walk. Needed someone to feed him. Needed someone to bathe him. Everything else, just like a baby. Now, who wants to go through life like that? But God took his son, took his wife, and within a year, just a little after a year, took him home.
Alright, so Brother Ramsey said, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, that he went about doing good, healing the sick. That was a sign that he was what he claimed to be. That's the way God sends it. That's the way it's supposed to come in the last days. The Holy Spirit that comes in the last days isn't to draw to us to a creed, isn't to draw us to a church, it's to draw us to God. And supernatural signs is to follow that Holy Spirit. From the oncoming storm, he said, some time ago I made it, making altar calls. I love John 5:24. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. He that believeth said, that's pretty light. No, that's pretty deep when you believe. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, then you have believed unto eternal life and have eternal life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. And from only one way provided by God. What time is it now? Okay. I think what we're going to do, I have five more pages to go. I think we'll just this afternoon for community service, we'll finish up. And then I'll put the sermon that I had for community service, I'll put it for next week. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe, Father, that your spirit never changes. You said, I am God, I change not. And Lord, we believe that not only does your spirit not change, but the nature of your spirit doesn't change either. And that means your personality is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we know that your life, oh God, your Holy Spirit, your God's life, was not just reserved for one man, Jesus. Because we saw that same life living itself in this day in a prophet. And many people thought he was God because the works of God were preeminent in his life. But that just means that man learned how to die to himself. So, Father, if we could just learn to die to ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit that is in us, if we would just water it by the Word, then we know the same things will happen in our lives. For the same Word will produce the same things. The same Spirit will produce the same works. And so we commit ourselves. We commit ourselves to what you saw in us before the foundations of the world. That you predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. That you predestinated us to manifest as sons of God. And we just commit it all back into your hands. And we ask you, Father, to help us water that seed that's in us. And it comes by the Word. Listening to the Word. Faith cometh by hearing the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know.